we're in chapter 10, Ezra chapter 10. And I would like to read this morning the first six verses of Ezra chapter 10. There has been a great issue brought before Ezra. His attention has been captivated with this issue. And that was, there have been those that have been in the land. They've come back from Babylon, and they said in their heart, at least, maybe not out loud, what these folks have here in this land, their religion is just as good as that religion we heard about over there in Babylon from the prophets of God. Well, we know from what the Lord does to his people, the religion we're born with cannot hold a candle to what God gives us in the new birth. There is life in the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. We're able to see the Lord, as Peter recounts it, thou art the Christ, the Son of, and I like that word that's put there, the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what we find in the scripture. There is a living God. And this God is eternal. And he has infinite power, infinite wisdom. So here in the book of Ezra, Ezra has prayed in chapter 9. And in chapter 10, we find some of the results of that. Now when Ezra had prayed, Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. Those, by and large, were those where the seed fell on good ground. That's the folks that gathered around. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Eliam, answered and said unto Ezra. So Shechaniah is speaking directly to Ezra, and that's going to be important when we get down to the verse we want to look at today. We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives, such as are born to them according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Now hold your finger right there. Brother Mike read this in the Bible class, but I want to go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians for just a moment, because the Apostle Paul, as he was preaching the gospel, was dealing with the same issues that we find that Ezra was dealing with over there at this time. That is the true sign, the true blessing of regeneration is culminated here when God's people say what we have in God is so much better than what we had naturally. Turn here with the book of 1 Thessalonians, and there in the book of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I was asked the other day, do you actually believe that you're chosen of God, that God chose you to salvation? And I said, yes, I do. How is that possible? How can you believe that? Well, number one, I know that God saves sinners, and he has given me the information, the true belief that this is his word. Amen. This is the word of God. God's word is a blessing to God's people. Now, it goes on to tell us here, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. We were simply men among you, but we had something very precious to share with you, and that was the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They echoed the word of God to these folks. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now there's going to be a group of folks over here in the time of Ezra that are going to be an example of what God does for his people. They are an example of the grace of God. They're an example to other people what happens when God's people are brought to God in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord out of not only of Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. What did they share? They shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrecting power of God, raising people from the dead to newness of life, able to comprehend a little bit about the grace of God. And here in verse 9, for they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And as we mentioned in the past, that is a definition, that is a verse of scripture that declares true repentance. I've been turned, and that word repentance means a change of mind, a change of heart. It isn't repenting of our sins. We don't have time to do that. Now, God may bring to us a particular thing that was particularly offensive to us, someone else, or to God, and we may come before him and say, oh, God, forgive me. But we only do that knowing full well that he's already forgiven us at the cross. We don't come pleading that maybe he'll change his mind about this sin, but it's been taken care of at the cross. We have faith to believe God when he said, I have put away sin by the sacrifice of my son. That's the only way we can come before him and ask for forgiveness. If we're coming hoping he'll do it, then we have already muddled the water. It says there, he turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now that's a reflection of what we have over here in the book of Ezra. We have a whole bunch of people that went and joined themselves to people, and it wasn't so much who they married, it is what they adopted. They adopted the religion of those people, and that was an abomination to God. Well, as we look on here, back in the book of Ezra chapter 10, we find that Shechaniah does something here as he directs his attention. He directs his attention to Ezra. Ezra has been the one that has appeared to be the mediator. We have a great Ezra. His name is Jesus. As we find these types and shadows and pictures in the Old Testament, even found in men, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, they are reflections only of what God is to his people. Here we have Ezra. Ezra was a mediator for his people. He was concerned about his people. He prayed for his people, just as we find the Lord prayed in his great high priestly prayer. I'm not praying for everybody else. I'm praying for my people. I'm praying for those who are saved, will be saved, and those who will be saved in the future. I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that thou hast given me. And here Ezra, as a mediator, he is mediating for the people of God, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has been our mediator, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Here in verse 10, this man comes and points out Ezra for us, and he says here now, verse 4, notice this with me, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee, be of good courage and do it. Now Shechaniah shares with us some wonderful information about Shechaniah and also anybody else that is a believer in Christ Jesus. He says, there's some matters that only belong to you, Ezra. Now we're going to be here in agreement with them, but you're the only one that can carry them out. For this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. All right. Now let's look here for just a moment. I was thinking about this as Brother Mike was teaching and trying to gather some thoughts, my grandfather gave me a pocket watch. He bought those dollar pocket watches, and they'd work until they wore out, and then he had them in a box, and he gave me one of those. You know the first thing I did with that pocket watch? I tore it apart because it wasn't working. Now, in my foolishness, I think I thought I could repair it. Now, I was reading some instructions the other day about taking something apart, and when it came to reassembly, it says, just back up what you've done. Just do the opposite of what you've done. Well, here, when it came to that pocket watch, I had a box full of parts, and there was all kinds of gears and all kinds of screws that I'd taken apart. But there was nothing in my capacity to put it together. You know, that pile of junk ended up somewhere and probably was thrown away. How often in our life, in my grown-up life, have I attempted to do something that I had no ability to do and should have taken it to a professional? We have two thermostats in here, and when it came time to ask someone to set those thermostats so they'd come on early Wednesday night and early Sunday morning, I played and played, and finally I said, I've got to go to someone who knows something about this. One time I showed just a little wisdom. I'm glad I didn't break or tear them apart before I asked someone to take care of it. Well, what we have here is Shechaniah realizes that Ezra, as it tells us there in verse 4, for this matter belongeth to thee. We're here supporting you. We love you. We're weeping with you. But when it comes to dealing with this matter, it is out of our hands. What a statement is made by Shechaniah. Wisdom must be given in order for anyone to see spiritually that all must be done by the true Ezra. You know, that's what really messes us up in religion, is we think we can take care of the problem by ourselves, and then God gives us the words that Shechaniah said about Ezra. There's only one that can deal with this. And we say, well, I've heard that, but I still think I can deal with this problem. And before you know it, if God is truly dealing with us, we get to the point where the words of Shechaniah about Ezra ring in our ears, and God has brought us to the point that we realize in the new birth, He's the only one that can take care of this problem. The watch has been taken apart, and the parts have been strewn around, and we can't get it back together. There's problems that we have we don't know how to deal with. And that is sin and the reality of sin that was brought to us by Adam and our own sin, how to deal with this mess. Have you ever got a hold of some of this new soap that they're passing off that looks like water to wash dishes with? It just does not take care of the problem. You need Dawn. You need real soap. And when it comes to sin, we need a real cleansing, and the only cleansing is by the blood of Christ. That's the only cleansing. Jonah summed this all up. He learned this lesson very well while he was ruminating in the great fish's belly. And at the conclusion of it, he summed up what Shechaniah shares with us about Ezra, and every gospel preacher shares about the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Shechaniah is saying about Ezra. This issue belongs to you. Then in verse 4 it says, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We can't get there from here. You're in charge. You've been anointed by the God of heaven. You have all knowledge about this. Now, he truly didn't have all knowledge, but as a picture, the Lord Jesus Christ has all knowledge about all what is our problem. What is salvation to the most people? A person is such a good person. Do you know, almost everybody that dies I've heard about recently have gone to heaven. Their family tells me they've gone to heaven. Well, I've known some of them, and I have questions about that. Not everybody goes to heaven. Only those purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ go to heaven. And they know about it before they get there. They don't wake up in heaven and find, oh, I must be blood bought. They are brought to newness of life in Christ Jesus in this life. Here in this time, in this gospel period. In creation, the people say, God's people say, this matter belongeth unto thee. We read the book of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we have to come to the conclusion, this is a matter that belongs to God. We talk about creating something, but we have to use something that's already there. Somebody creates a building. There has to be material before they can do anything. We don't create anything. We use products that are here that God has already given to us, and we put them in some sort of assembly, and we say, look at that. Nobody has ever created anything but God. He is the one that in control of creation, the people say, this matter belongeth to you. I can't even control a puppy. And God controls every mosquito. My grandmother told me when she and my grandfather were raising bees that there was a problem that the bees got. It was a bee mite. A very small, almost invisible critter that gave the bees a bad time. And I'm convinced that the bee mite had problems from some other thing. And yet God has control of all those things. He has control of what goes on inside of an atom. He has control of what goes on the Himalayas. He is in all power and control. In all of history, the people of God say, the matter belongeth to thee. I hear oftentimes, this situation changed history. Never changed history. Never changed his story. We think of it from a human standpoint, but nothing has ever changed the plan of Almighty God from what He's determined before the foundation of the world. In every wise counsel and purpose, His people say, this matter belongeth to thee. And in every one that has ever been or shall ever be saved, this matter belongs to you. In Job chapter 38, 39, and 40. Now, I don't have time to read all of that right now. But in the conclusion of the book of Job, God asked Job in those three chapters over 30 questions. And Job had to say, I don't know anything about this. Were you there when I created the clouds? Were you there when I caused the eagle to fly? And Job had to say, no. And then we heard that last statement of Job in Job chapter 42. I heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. And what is he summing up? This matter belongs to you. If it isn't for your grace, I will never see. If it isn't for your grace, I will never hear. If it isn't for your grace, I will never have anything spiritual. If it isn't for God, I'll have nothing spiritual whatsoever. This matter belongeth to thee. Now, did you notice that word that Shechaniah shared with Ezra in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4 before he said, this matter is your matter? Ezra seems to have been in a sitting or bowing posture when this was going on. And Shechaniah said, arise. Now there's some significance in that word. Arise, for this matter belongs to you. You're the only one that can take care of the problem. You're the only one that can share it, and people will believe it. We as people who understand or have some thought about the gospel may take it to someone else, but there's only one that can bring it to the person, and that is God. He's the only one that can bring the issue to people. We throw out the seed, and that's it. Well, we find here Shechaniah shares with Ezra as he is in his position. He's been praying. His prayers in chapter 9, it's a wonderful prayer about the gospel and God's activity and the problem that God dealt with at the cross, and that is our sin. Ezra is called on to arise, and did you notice, I didn't read verse 5, but did you notice there? Then arose Ezra. Ezra, arise, for this matter belongeth to thee. Now there's some glorious things that are the results of the real Ezra arising. Would you turn with me to the book of Psalms? Psalms 113. Psalms 113. In Psalm 113 and verse 7, without grace, we will never admit that the Lord took us up from these two places. Without grace, we will never admit that we're that low. With grace, we understand what he's talking about. The lowest of the low. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Without grace, we'll never go there. We will always admit that we're in better shape than that. We're not that poor. We find out in very poor countries, particularly at this time, they took all the human and animal refuse and threw it in a pile out of the city. And the poor people who were cold threw a blanket over that and laid on it because there was natural heat coming off of it. That was their heater. Now most of us will never admit that we've ever been there. But when the Lord comes to us and says, I caused you to arise from this place, we agree with him. It was a very low down place where you brought us from. But he causes us to arise from that, to take us up from that, to lift us out of that, to bring us to himself where it is so different, where the warmth, the spiritual warmth comes from the Lord himself and not from some place like this. Turn with me if you would to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18. In Jeremiah chapter 18, this is something that God shares with his people. And it is necessary that we have some comprehension about this. Much of the Bible will go misunderstood if the Holy Spirit does not open some of this up to our heart. And that is, as the Lord brings us out of those terrible places, out of the horrible pit, out of the dung heap, if you please. Here in the book of Jeremiah, we find here in chapter 18, Jeremiah chapter 18, that he tells Jeremiah to arise up, and I want to go show you and illustrate to you a lesson. Here again is a wonderful statement, a parable. Now, to many people, it's nothing more than an illustration. Okay, take me down to the potter's house and I'll watch them make some pottery. How beautiful is that? But to God's people, it means much more than that because he goes on to explain what it means. The Lord will arise, take us up, lift us up, and teach us some things about God himself. And God himself will share with us some things about himself. And he will teach us and lead us in the truth about his position in the creation of this world, in the complete overrunning of this world, the rule of this world, and complete salvation belongs to him and him alone. This belongeth to you. All right, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Thank God he causes us to hear him. He causes us to arise and make us teachable about the things of God. He brought us from a great place. It was a terrible place. It's worse than we thought. And here he says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Guess what? The church is in the hand of the Lord, and he makes it for his glory. He has called us out of a terrible place, but he wants us to know emphatically, without question, that he is the potter and we are the clay. And it only by the grace of God will we let God touch us. We will say by nature, I'll not have this man rule over me. I know more about how I want to be than God knows how I want to be. But yet, God, as he arises, he lifts us, he takes us, he brings us to the position, I'm taking you out of a terrible place, and I am going to cause you to know some things about me that you did not know by nature. In Jeremiah chapter 31, would you look there with me? Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. My goodness. Every time we find the Lord doing something for us, it gets better and better. We are caused to arise, and where are we called to go? Unto the Lord our God. We're called, and for thus saith the Lord, sing the gladness of Jacob, for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with children together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplication will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. What wonderful blessings God has in store for all his people, that he calls out of darkness to his marvelous light, and he says, arise, let's go to the Lord. Well, when we get into the New Testament, I want to just spend a little time in one book of the New Testament, and Brother Mike has been going over this book. When you plow a field, it's that much easier to find nuggets. We've had that field plowed. My brother lived on a piece of property down in Willow Ranch, California, that hadn't been plowed for 70 years. When he had it plowed, he went through with a 5-gallon bucket and picked up arrowheads. He had a 5-gallon bucket full of arrowheads. And I asked if I could go out there and kick around in the dirt. He said, go ahead. And I found a red obsidian knife cut in half with a disc or a plow. I couldn't find the other half. And he said something very unrespectful to me after I found him, because he thought he had found them all. Well, here in the book of Luke, join me if you would in the book of Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, our Bible class teacher has gone over this, but I'm just going to go back over it for just a little bit. Luke chapter 5, in verse 22. Luke chapter 5, in verse 22. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason you in your hearts? Now they're wondering, who on earth can forgive sins? That's God's business. Yes, it is. Isn't that wonderful? It's God's business. And they're talking to God when they're saying it. And he said, how do you reason in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go unto thy house. With the words that the Lord Jesus put out, just the words he put out, he empowered that man who had no power on his own. He empowered that man to stand up and walk. That's a wonderful thing about the gospel. There is power in the gospel. There's no power in the preacher. There's no power anywhere but in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the power that he gives his word, he can take someone that is quite sick and raise him up. Well, you know, some charlatan might come along and say, that's easy to do. Do you remember that rod that Moses had or Aaron had and cast down? Well, those soothsayers that were there in the days of that Pharaoh, they did the same thing. But there's some things people cannot do. Turn with me just a little bit further here in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 12. Luke chapter 7 and verse 12. Some things only that belongeth to the Lord. This belongeth to you. This is your business. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, now when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. The word of his power brought to life dead. What power is in the word of God that he can take dead and raise it to life? What power is there? It's far beyond our power. That's why we have to say, this matter belongeth to thee. This is the only one that can deal with the problem, and his name is Jesus. He demonstrates here by doing a physical act what he does spiritually for everyone that he died for on the cross. He will bring them to the place that he will breathe upon them the breath of life, and they will become a living soul. This man, what happened to him when he said that? Did he continue to lay there? Did he languish there? Did he wait a long time there before the Lord actually his effect? What does it say? And he that was dead sat up. I could clap my hands. I could say hallelujah. He said, young man, arise. And the next words, that young man sat up and was alive. Turn with me just a little bit further here in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8 and verse 41. Luke chapter 8 and verse 41. How he illustrates the point that there's some things that belong to the Lord. Shechaniah said to Ezra, this matter belongs to you. And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to raising the dead, this matter belongs to you. We can only say, as Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Here in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 41, we have these words. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And then there's another event takes place there. And let's go to verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Isn't that an interesting statement? There's no hope now. While she was sick, there was hope. But when she died, there is no hope. That's why did the Lord not heal her when she was just sick? And why did he tarry there with the woman? This matter belongs to me. And it goes on to tell us there in Luke chapter 8, verse 49-50. It says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, saying, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Maid, arise. How wonderful. Do you remember what the prodigal son, and really he's not a prodigal son, he's a lost son. When he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father who gave him that. This matter belongs to God. He's the only one that can change our sons or our daughters or our grandchildren. He's the only one that can intercede. He's the only one that can bring life. He's the only one. Well, when the son got back, the father was already anticipating his coming and robed him up and put a ring on his hand and had a feast. All this is because, turn with me to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, arise Ezra, this matter belongeth to you. The true Ezra, arise, this matter belongs to you. Look what he's done on the behalf of his people. Brought us out of that terrible plight we're in by nature. Brought us down to the potter's house and taught us that God is sovereign in all things, in salvation, in the moving of this world. He's sovereign in all things. He brings us to the great truth that God is in charge of all things. And here in the book of Luke chapter 24, a whole bunch of people were disappointed that they took the Lord Jesus and crucified him. His disciples were disappointed and deserted him. On purpose, it was to fulfill the scriptures. They thought he would throw off the Roman rule. Here in Luke chapter 24, verse 3, the scriptures share this. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He has arose. And as a result of that, turn with me to one final passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, we have the Apostle Paul, as he led by the Holy Spirit to write this wonderful book to the saints at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise from the dead. Something we cannot do on our own. We are required to go back to Shechaniah's words and say, this matter belongeth unto you. Is he pleased to raise his people from the dead? Absolutely. When will he do it? At his time. How will he do it? Through the preaching of the gospel. And God's people said, amen.
Brother Mike, if you'll come.